Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. Hey, if you have your Bible, do me a favor and pick it up and open it up to Acts chapter 3. As you're getting there, I want to just tell you, we're going to just quickly, over the next 3 weeks, jump into a very quick series we're calling this right here. It's "What I Have, I Give to You." And we're going to see that show up in this scripture. And over the next 3 weeks, we're just going to talk very briefly around this scripture. We're going to lean into all of it, just from different viewpoints every single week, leading us up to the fall. I mentioned a little earlier that we're heading towards a powerful, helpful series in the fall, and we're hoping that God will continue to bring people here and our part to play in it. But this story that we're going to read, I'm going to read it in full real quickly, has got so many pieces to it that I couldn't just talk through it in 1 week. And so I won't be before you, but for the next 3.5 hours today, that was a joke. So if you're new here, don't worry. We're almost done. My team, anytime I tell them I'm going to go short, they're like, "Oh man, here we go." But I'm winning them over. They're starting to believe me. All right. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read to verse 20. This is the word of the Lord for us today. "One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. Now, I just got to pause there. Y'all, I mean, listen, only the real spiritual people show up in the afternoon, in the p.m. services, right? "Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. When he was put there, every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, 'Look at us.'" I love that. "Look me in the eyes." "So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who had used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Verse 11, "While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and the righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses to this by faith in the name of Jesus. This man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now," this is verse 17, "now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God glorified what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed to you, even Jesus." So today, we're going to kick off, like I said, a really quick series around this text, because there's so much in this text that I believe God wants to teach us and to share with us. And I just don't have time to teach it all in one setting. And so each week we're going to look at a different aspect that comes from this. And so again, over the next few weeks, I want to encourage you that we're heading towards September. We're heading towards September the 8th when we're going to have a really powerful Sunday. It's going to be beautiful. We want you to invite people to come and to join us and experience. And I mentioned this earlier. It's because that's a natural time of the rhythm of life where people are coming back off of vacation, school starting back, and people are ready to jump back into rhythm. And more likely than not, they're willing to come back to give church a try. And so we're going to partner with you. We're going to be promoting that through social media. We're going to give you tools to be able to invite folks. And I want to invite you to be a part of that. And if you miss out on any of these Sundays in this series, I believe it's going to be critical for us. So just so you know, you can always go back and watch our messages on our YouTube channel. Maybe you prefer podcasts. You can find these podcasts anywhere. And I want to invite you to go back and to grab those. But today, I want to lean in on something that has always struck me in this text. I hope you're able to, in your mind's eye, see this picture. There's this man who has been lame since birth. His friends are carrying him to the temple and to the gate. They drop him off to beg. And we have Peter and John, who are disciples of Jesus, and they're actually going to the temple to pray and to worship as well. And all of a sudden, there's this encounter where this man starts to ask them for money. Can you see this image? I think many of us probably could, because we've probably found ourselves in a similar situation at times, right? But to be honest, this text is kind of wild. When you actually slow down and you read it, and you actually think about living this out, there's some things that, to me, make me ask some tough questions. And so over this series, we want to look at some of these things that cause us to ask some of these tough questions. So if you get nothing else from today, and again, I'm not going to be before you long. I got just a few more minutes. If you get nothing from today, here's what I pray that you will get. So if you're taking notes, write this down. This is the one big thing. Give what you have to give. We'll say it one more time. Give what you have to give. Hope you grab onto that. If you hear nothing else, hear that, okay? So the thing that sticks out to me that is, I don't know, it just catches me every single time, is when I read this story in our culture, I think we just so quickly wax over what we read. So I want you to get this picture in its totality. There's this man who since birth has been lame, which means he's been unable to walk, he's been unable to work, he's been unable to provide for himself. He's struggling here. And this has been his story since birth. And yet, the Bible tells us that there's this group of friends that he has that every single day, I'm going to pause there. Every single day, his friends pick him up, carry him, and take him to the temple. Now, I think some of us, when I first read this, the first time I'm reading this, I'm honestly a little perturbed. I'm like, yo, his friends, that's the best they could do is carry him and help him go beg. But really, you got to understand the context. The context is simply this. This is a poor culture. And they wouldn't have tons of scrap food laying around and money to give. In fact, their devotion to him is radical. Because he's got nothing to offer them. You see that? He's got nothing. He can't do a job. He can't do anything but be a friend of them. And yet, every single day, since this man has been alive, his friends were so devoted and loved him so greatly that they were willing to pick him up and carry him to the temple so that he might be put in position to be fed, to be cared for, to be provided for in ways that they couldn't. That's powerful. You see, because in our culture, here's what we think. Well, I mean, you know, that guy, I don't know. Why? I mean, he couldn't just figure it out on his own. But he Well, I mean, surely he could just, if his legs don't work, he can just get a job with his hands, right? I mean, that's how we think in our culture. And yet, these people, every single day, did I say every single day? Did I say that before? Okay, just making sure. Every single day, they carry him to the gate called Beautiful. Now, here's another piece of this. I don't know how far this walk was. I mean, I'm assuming this man didn't live at the foot of the temple. And so in some way, shape, or form, they had to pick him up and carry him. And then most scholars teach us that the temple actually had multiple layers of stairs to get into the temple. So at least one layer of stairs they would have had to bring into the temple, carry him up at least one flight of stairs to get him to where the gate Beautiful would be found. And there they put him every single day to be in position to be cared for. Because God was clear to his people to take care of people like this. You know, when you and I pass someone on the side of the road who's out there and they got a sign and says, I will work for food, you don't believe them. And so you're like, you typically don't hand them your money. But God tried to teach his people around generosity and that these were his people and he made a way for them to be taken care of. Many of us, we just miss the cultural context here, but it's beautiful and it's beautifully on display. And here's how I can put it in context for you. Every single day, they carried him to the temple. Let me just put that in perspective for you. Men, how many times do you get frustrated when every single day your bride says, could you take out the trash today? How frustrating, right? Every single day, I got to take out the trash. Like, yo, it can't just sit there for a day. Every single day, I got to take the trash out, right? No, come on. Y'all know. Like, we're trying to do that, like, once or twice a week. We're like, no, that's good. I only saw a few fruit flies today. We're good, right? How frustrated do many of you get the one time a year your mother asks you to come over to her house and get the Christmas stuff out of the attic? I mean, okay. I guess. It's hot up there. It's November. Now, some of y'all are getting your Christmas stuff out in July. Come on now, stop that. Stop that, too far. And if that's you in the room, mama, it's too hot up there to be getting your stuff out in July. You understand what I'm saying? There's a frustration that even serving people we love, serving our spouse, serving our mother, just in these little mundane things that might take a few minutes of our time and a little bit of sweat, there's some like, wow, okay, right? Well, I got another one for you. This is one that I just wrote down. And I don't know if this connects to anybody else, but how annoying is it that you constantly have to tie your kids' shoes and wipe their butts, even though they are way too old and you've tried to teach them way too many times? That's just me? Okay, that's just me. That one's for me. Y'all, I'm tired. I'm tired of tying shoes and wiping tail. I'm just saying. Like, here's the point. Here's what I want you to see. Because I think all of us can connect to something like that, right? And yet, the Bible says that these friends loved their friends so much that every single day they went to his house, picked him up, carried him to the temple, went into worship, and then, oh, by the way, it doesn't say it, but inevitably you know what else it means? It means they carried his tail right back home. This is powerful. And man, in our culture, we just right by it. Because right next, we get the powerful story. We get the classic line from Peter, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. And then he heals him. And like, we get to that part. And we'll get to that part. Right? We will. Because that's the crux of the text, no doubt. That at the end of the day, we all need and want for ourselves and for those that we love to have ultimate healing. And the ultimate healing is not that he would be able to walk again. I know that. I acknowledge that. The ultimate healing would be that his sins would be forgiven, that he would be made whole, that he would know Christ Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And for anyone in the room, that's my desire and my hope for you as well. That's the major point, no doubt. And yet, the Bible was pretty clear to go through the details to tell us that every single day this man's friends carried him to the temple. Why? 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 Why not just get to the point of there was a man who was begging, Peter and John walked by and healed him? Why not get to that? Because I think there's something in it for us. That before we get to the healing, and before we get to the miracle, we got to learn to see God in the mundane. And we got to learn to see God working in and through us in the middle of a walk, taking our friends back and forth to the grocery store. So that's where I want to land today. See, I told you, not that long, right? If you're new to home church, this might catch you by surprise, but we like to be honest here. I know some churches is not all that, but can we be honest for a moment? I want you to hear this. There's only so much you can do for people. See, that's the part that nobody else says out loud. Because you thought I was setting you up to go and do all these things for all these people. And yet, I just want to, as a human, acknowledge that there's only so much you can do for people. This has been a hard lesson for me to learn as a pastor. One of the hardest parts, when people ask me, what's one of the hardest parts of your job? I often say it's that I oftentimes find myself struggling because I see people that I love greatly, and all I can do is my very best for them, and oftentimes I see that it's still not enough. I can't tell you how many people that I've walked with and cared for and showed up to the hospital and brought a meal and prayed over and called and checked in. And then all of a sudden something, whatever it is inside of the relationship gets hindered or frustrated or happened. And then all of a sudden they're gone. No explanation, no follow-up, won't call back, won't respond to a text, and just gone. That's hard. It's hard to give so much. And then people vanish. But I think many of you actually probably know what that looks like too. This is why we become guarded, right? If we're honest, this is why we become guarded. This is why we don't just give out money to the panhandler on the side of the road, because we've seen them not go to McDonald's. We've seen them go into the other place, right? This is why we're hard with some of our family members, because time after time we've tried to help them financially or give them a place to live, and then they go and mess it up again, and you're like, yo, I can't keep doing this. This is why as a pastor, sometimes it's hard to constantly give knowing that at some point I might get hurt again. Can we just be real? Okay with you today? It's been a hard lesson. But with that, here's what I want to encourage you with today. Because I think you might ask, to what end? Like, where's the balance? You say, Pastor, literally, the name of the title is, what I have to give, I give to you. And yet, you're also acknowledging that you only have so much to give. Like, what do we do with that? To what end? Well, that's the point today. That's the point today. This is the thing I want you to walk out of here with today, is just this understanding, is that his friends gave him all they had. That's it. They didn't have more money. They didn't have more food. They had the ability to go and faithfully pick him up and carry him every day to position him to be ready to be served and provided for. That's all they had. And then we get to Peter and John, these disciples of Jesus. And we get to the classic line where Peter says, silver and gold, I ain't got it. Meaning, I know you want money, but I don't have that. But he says, but what I do have, I give to you. And what he had was the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. What he had was the gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak Jesus over this man, to heal him. And then he used it as an opportunity to give what else he had, which was the gift to evangelize. Hey, you see this guy? This guy that got healed? Let me tell you why that happened. It's because of Jesus. It didn't have anything to do with me. I'm not all that holy. I'm not godly. I just have the Holy Spirit and God living within me. And so as a result, here's what I want you to see. To what end? They couldn't necessarily feed him. They couldn't give him all he needed, but they gave him what they could. And what they could was to carry. And they carried him and they put him in position to be blessed by God. Here's what I want you to see. I want to just tell you, you can't do everything for everyone. You can't. It's an impossible task. You'll never satisfy everyone. You'll never please everyone. They'll end up frustrated. You'll end up hurt. And all of a sudden, what you do have, you know what you'll do? You'll hoard it. You'll hold it. And no one will get any of you anymore. Because you don't want to get hurt. You're afraid. And I get it. They couldn't have expected this. They were just hoping that dude would get enough money to be able to buy some food, maybe on the market, ride home on their backs, right? And yet, the result was healing. And oh, by the way, not just a physical healing. There's a spiritual healing in this as well. I love that line from Peter. Silver and gold, I don't have it. But what I do have, I give to you. Here's what I just want to share this with you, and then we'll walk out of here today. Some of you, I wonder how many of us fall into this position. I wonder how many of us could say the same thing that Peter said. Hey, yo, money, I ain't got it. But I do have something else to give. I wonder how many of us in the room, that would be our story. When it comes to trying to serve others and to give to others, maybe God has not given you a ton of margin to be able to turn around and to give financially to someone else. I think there will probably be many in the room that would be true of. That's okay. But I just wonder, if you don't have money to give, which is fine, what has God given you to give away? Because that's the piece here, right? Don't miss this. Peter wasn't powerful. Peter was just Peter. Peter was just operating with what God had already given him. So I wonder how many of you today would say, silver and gold have I none. And then I wonder that second part, but what I have, I give. What is that other part that God has given you? What's that gifting? What's that talent? What's that resource? What's that piece of you that God has so freely already given to you that you actually have that in a moment like this, you would say, silver, gold, I don't have, but a listening ear, I give to you. Silver and gold, I don't have, but handy hands, I can build for you. Silver and gold, I don't have, but to watch your kids for a little bit so you can nap, oh, I got that. You see, I think so many times in our Americanized culture and even in the church culture, when we read something like this, we always think about, well, I guess I'll scrape the bottom of the barrel. No. Friends, don't miss it. Your God is not worried about your money. Your God is worried about your heart. And when you don't have money and margin to give, you can't give it. But he has given you something to freely give away. What is it? What is it? What has God put in your hands to freely give away to those in your family? To those in your neighborhood, to those in your community, to those inside of the church. What has he put in you to give? There's always going to be a need. You may not be able to meet it, but what you can do is give what you have. That's all I believe God calls us to. Now, there are some of you in the room, God has given you immensely in the ways of money. He has, and he's given you margin. Old friend, if that's your story, don't take this as your excuse to not give it away. But for those in the room, it's not there to give. You got something. I wonder right now what the Holy Spirit is speaking over you, what he's illuminating in your mind and in your heart right now that he's gifted you with, that is shining like gold and silver sitting on a pot. But it to you might not look like money and it might not look like much, but it's what God gave you to give that is going to position someone else to receive the blessing of God. He wants to use you to serve others and to give what he's given you. What is it? So, quickly, we're done. How do I apply this to my life? Three things. How do you apply this to your life? Number one is this. Jesus set an example for us in this, that he came to serve and not be served. You hear that, right? Our Savior came to serve, to give, to not take. He came to seek and to save the lost. So, if that was Jesus' mission on this earth, guess what? I got news for you, believer. It's your mission too. So, what he's given us is meant to be used towards that purpose, to seek and to save the lost. Again, I go back to the main point of the crux, the main point of the text here. It's not the physical healing. It's the spiritual healing. It's the gospel that Peter preached. So, point number two, thing that you need to apply to your life is this. Peter didn't have money to offer this man, but he did know what he did have, and what he did have, he gave. I just wonder today if you would come into an awareness of what God has actually put in your hands, what God has put in your heart, what he's put in your mind to be able to turn and to give. Because this has to be us. Believer, this has to be us. This is the example that what we have, we're called to give. Point number three, how do I apply this to my life? I wonder, who has God placed in your life that needs to be carried? What friend, what family member, what coworker, what neighbor, what person has God put in your life that needs to be carried? Because listen, I got news for you. It doesn't take a whole lot of gifting to put your arm around somebody else and help them down the road. At the very minimum, it just takes a willing heart. So over the next few weeks, we're leading to September. And I know that there are people in your life that you love and care for who need physical healing. They need mental healing. They need financial healing. I know it. I'm aware of it. I got friends and family in my life that I'm praying for that as well. There's a part that I got to play to give them what I've got. But here's what I leave you with today. The person that God wants you to help and to serve and to help carry, could you please care way more about their spiritual healing than their physical, financial, or mental healing? Because we can give them all the money and we can provide surgeries and God might even heal them physically. But if they die spiritually and don't experience Jesus and they spend an eternity in Hades separated away from God, what good have we given them? What good have we given them? And so here's the thing. The prompting of the Holy Spirit in you to both illuminate into your mind's eye what you have to give and the person that he laid on your heart when I said those things, you are on mission over the next 3 weeks to go do it and go get them. Whatever it takes. Go do it and go get them. And if you got to go pick them up and carry them into the temple, oh, I believe there's incredible healing on offer.
And like their friends, just like Peter and John, they got to be eyewitnesses to God do something radical in their midst. And you'll get to see the same. I want to pray over you. I want to invite you to stand. If I have staff and elders in the room, would you come down? They're going to spread out along the front. Hey, you ain't got to wait for 3 weeks. If today you're under the sound of my voice and you know you need healing in any way, shape, or form, financial, physical, mental, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for your healing. The Bible tells us that to come and to lay our burdens, and if you're sick, if you've got something going on, for come to the elders and they'll lay hands on you and pray for you to be healed. Healing is on offer, I believe, for you. If you would be so willing and bold to come and to receive prayer over that. But I also believe that more importantly, that some of you might need spiritual healing. You might need God to do a spiritual renewal, a healing of your heart. And if that's you today, I want to invite you to respond. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to dim the lights. And here's what I want you to do. No one looking around, please. But if you need prayer, I want you to just move right now. If you need prayer, move. Get out of your seat. Ask someone to move. Come to the front. Our team is ready to pray over you. They're ready to lay hands on you. If you need healing today, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Something's going on in your finances. You need God to move. Let's pray. Something's going on in your physical body. You need God to move. Come. Let's pray. You need something going on in your mental health or in relationships. Come. Move. Let's pray. Don't sit in your seat and rob God of the opportunity to do something wild in your life right now. Don't do that. Don't miss it. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. No one's looking around. We just want to pray over you. This is totally normal. This is totally biblical. We ain't got much to give you today, but what we do have is the name of Jesus, and we give it to you freely as we lay hands on you and pray for healing, for hope. I just want to give the Lord time to move. It's not too late to move yourself. Amen. I want to give you space. No one's looking around. Hey, maybe you're just, Pastor, I just don't have the courage to walk down. But I do have the courage to just acknowledge. If that's you, you need prayer. Just right where you are, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I see you. Amen. It's okay. That's bold. That's courageous. In fact, here's what I'll do. We want to come to you. Staff, elders, you see someone with their hand raised, go to them. You don't have to come down. We don't want to embarrass you. We want to love you. Thank you. Thank you for your boldness, your bravery. Thank you. Any others? We'll come to you. Amen. Earlier today, we sang, I speak the name of Jesus. Oh, how fitting. That's all Peter did. Silver and gold, I don't have it, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. And so right now, I want to do that. I want to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. God, we say thank you for the moving of your spirit in this house. God, the work that you're stirring up in the hearts of your sons and daughters. God, I thank you for the boldness of those to seek your healing. Whatever they have, God, physical, mental, financial, relational, God, whatever healing that they need, God, spiritually, if they need healing right now, I pray that in the name of Jesus, God, I ain't got much money, but whatever I've got, I'll give. But God, all I have in full measure is the power of the Holy Spirit that runs through me. God, I pray in the name of Jesus right now over this house that everyone who needs you will be met by you right now for whatever need that they have, financial, physical, spiritual, mental, relational, God, that you would meet them right here in this moment and that you would provide healing. For God, you are good like that. And you are able like that. And so, Father, over these next few moments, we continue to sing and to praise and to celebrate like the man's friends did. They came and they celebrated what you did in their life, God. We celebrate ahead of time, whether we know or not, of a healing happening right now. God, we celebrate it as though it has already happened. And so, Father, right now, as we pray and as we sing, we cry and we sing the one thing that can save, the one thing that can provide, the one thing that is precious. And so, Father, right now, we sing and we pray the name and the blood of Jesus over every life in this room. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.